Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you worth more than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about your clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O little of faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat?' Or 'What are we to drink?' Or 'What are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord. There is a religious order of sisters that also in their monastery had a farm and some cattle and things. And the mother superior of this order was getting very, very sick and was in great pain and was calling for help at night and things and keeping the nuns up. And so the sisters thought, well, perhaps if we give her a little whiskey, that might help to make her ease, take the edge off the pain. And so they thought they'd propose it to her. Asked Mother Superior, "We're thinking perhaps some whiskey might take the edge off the pain here." Well, let me tell you, not a drop of that demon drink would pass through her lips, and she had nothing to do with it. And the sisters, but the next night, same thing was worse. She was truly suffering and keeping them up. So one sister got the bright idea, what if we just put a little bit in her milk at night that she has, you know, and she won't really notice it, and gradually increase it, and then eventually it'll start to take the edge off the pain, and maybe she'll get some rest, and we can get some rest, and things will work out. So they all prayed over it and decided that is what they were going to do. So they did, a little bit at a little bit. She didn't notice, so pretty good. Upped it a little bit more, she didn't notice. Pretty soon they noticed. She wasn't complaining as much, getting better sleep, and things were working out well. And they upped it to enough that she could really, you know, get the, not feel too hurt. But alas, she was approaching her final hours. And the sisters had finished the barn work, and they approached her and wanted to get a word of wisdom from her lips before she passed away. And they said, "Sister, do you have anything special to tell us?" And she bent down, and they came close to her, and she said, "Don't sell that cow." Today, Jesus makes a very stark statement that we cannot serve two masters, a statement that very much sounds like Lent. And as you may know, we have a very late Lent. And I thought it might be good for us to take up that theme a bit and ask ourselves, how are we preparing? I've been thinking myself, you know, what am I going to do to get ready for Lent? And why should we be thinking about it now? And I want to go through some things to kind of get us set for this wonderful time of year that is rich with so many opportunities that God wants to do in our life. And so why do we do this? Well, I would say this. Anything worth doing is worth preparing for. Lent is worth doing. So let's not say, oh, geez, you know, it's the fourth Sunday of Lent. I haven't done anything. That's, you know, that's not right. We should prepare for this because Lent is a time not just of exercising our wills, but of being ready for the season of opportunity, this moment of grace. It's like a holy year within a year. You know, it's a mini holy year, but it's a six-week span. And we ask God to do something for us. So let's think about the graces that God could give us. What do we need? What do we want? What can God bring into our life that would be terrific, that would be a new beginning, that would be healing something, inspiring something, bringing greater joy? It's worth preparing for. The other thing is, if we want it, let's choose to ask for it. Choose it. You know, in this wonderful time of year, in these days before Lent, let's prepare our hearts and souls. We have a few days left before we enter into Ash Wednesday. You know, let's prepare, get expectant, you know, kind of envision and open ourselves to the graces we hope to receive. See if we can name something we need from God. Name a grace. Name an inspiration. Name a help. And hope for it. Preparing our hearts this way. It's not an ordeal. Oh, well, I've got to get ready for this massive ordeal. There's challenges. We're called to exercise some discipline, to exercise our will. But it's about grace. It's about spiritual gifts. It's about gifts that enrich and change our lives. So let's prepare our hearts for it and choose it. The focus, however, is on God. It's on what He wants to give us. Whatever we do sets the stage. It makes the necessary arrangements. It, you know, sets the table. But God's the guest that comes. His grace is the thing that we really are preparing for. We can't extort it. We can't squeeze it out of God. We can't talk God into it. But we can humbly ask, knowing that in His goodness, He wills to give us what's good. He wills to give us good things we don't even know about, which is another important thing. Leave an opening for something we don't expect, something we haven't considered, and that we might really need, that comes out of nowhere, but something that God would know and that we really do need. And so when we do this, we won't start from a dead stop. You know, we'll hit the ground running on Ash Wednesday. We'll be ready on all counts to enter into this great season and receive our ashes in the hopes of a wonderful season of opportunity. That's what Lent is, and that's why we do it. Yes, you know, there's Mardi Gras, there's Carnival, but it that kind of makes it, which we're going to enjoy, incidentally, a great deal, but make no mistake. But I will be able to get up tomorrow, so don't. But the thing is that, nonetheless, those tend to focus on the fact that Lent is a time of some discipline, and so we kind of have a bit of a party. That's okay. It's rich in our history. But the real issue is God wants to grace us. God wants to bestow gifts upon us. And so let's hit the ground running in expectation, in preparation, in hope, in openness, and really receive the things that God wants to give us. This can be the best Lent. Lent is like an art in some ways. What I mean by that is there is a kind of art to going through it. You know, we as we get older, as we mature, as we have more experience, we start to learn how to go through Lent in a productive way, in a way that is open, in a way that helps us to really gain the ground we hope to gain in our faith. And so this year, let's make this an exercise of the art of going through Lent and get better and better at making the most of this holy and powerful time of the year.